Good evening, everyone. There's a little boy named Johnny. Johnny was 9 years old. Johnny was very, very afraid of the dark. And one night, about 9 o'clock, Johnny's mother asked Johnny to, Johnny, would you go out and get the broom out of the back porch? He goes, but Mommy, it's dark out there and I'm afraid. Mommy says, Johnny, don't worry. Jesus is out there. He'll protect you. But Mommy, I'm so afraid. Johnny, listen to me. Jesus is out there. You don't have to worry about a thing. Jesus is out there. He is? Jesus is everywhere. He's out there. Please go get me my broom. Johnny takes a deep breath. He walks to the door and he opens it and says, Jesus, would you please give me the broom? Part three on our section on fear. You know, fear is a learned response. Many of you have had children, and when they were young, were they afraid of anything? They weren't. They didn't have no problem. I remember climbing up all kinds of things all over my house, had no fear. I told the story on Father's Day how we watched the movie about the paratroopers. We learned how to jump off of things, jumped off of chairs and tables in the garage and so forth, you know. And then we saw the ski jumpers. And I won't tell you what I did, but I will tell you those wagons are called Little Red Flyers for a reason. But you know, we weren't afraid. We didn't get hurt, you know. We just handled it. Fear is one of Satan's biggest weapons. It's, in my opinion, the ultimate mind control. And he uses it very efficiently and very effectively. It's very interesting. There's two really good songs out right now. Jessica Francesca, at least how you pronounce her name, has a song called The Breakup Song. It's all about breaking up with fear and getting fear out of her life. And then there's another gentleman that has a song called Fear is a Liar. And they're great. And people are coming against this demon spiritually. Let's do a quick review a little bit, please. If you go to section one, the overview, fear is founded in death and its purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come, this is Jesus speaking, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? All right. You must conquer all fear or fear will conquer you. Romans 8:37. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Okay, so parts 1A and B, faith is believing in God that he will do what he promised. Fear is believing the devil will do what he promises. It's that simple. Definition, faith is trusting God, his spoken word, his written word, the Bible. Okay. Number two, generally fear causes us to lose our joy, peace, patience. Specifically, fear can be identified through our thoughts, words, and actions. You ever see somebody in fear, they're probably not a very happy person at that point in time. Do you agree with me on that? Okay. Definition, fear is believing an evil report, which is accepting as true or as possible the outcome of anything which contradicts God's word. The example we often use is the 10 spies coming back from the promised land. They're contradicting God's word. They were filled with fear. Fear was contagious. It spread through the whole tribe of the Hebrews there. Okay. Romans 14:23b. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Okay. B. The first three sins for Satan, pride, impatience, and fear. We'll talk a little bit about this now going into this. So Isaiah 14:12-16, the fall of Lucifer. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you're cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. There's Satan with pride. He will ascend to heaven. I will exalt thy throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend from the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. That's what Satan wants, to be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. For those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? Fear make Satan appear bigger and more powerful than he is. Amen? Okay. All right. Ezekiel, this is also talking about Satan. Son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. God had blessed Satan immensely. Okay. You were perfect in your ways in the day you were created till inequity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence from within. And you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God and destroyed you. That's past tense. Satan's already been destroyed. Okay. O covering cherub, he was a cherub, not an angel as many people think, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading upon the earth. In the sight of all who saw you, all who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Satan is a horror. No more forever. I want you to realize that. God has already done it for us. We just have to stand in faith. Okay? When Satan comes at you to put fear into you, fear is a liar. He is a liar. He's the father of all lies. Okay? Number two, the first three temptations of Jesus, pride, impatience, and fear. Luke 4:1-13. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. So Jesus is tempted for 40 days. He's not just tempted once. Many people read the scripture that he's just tempted at the end. He was tempted the whole time through while he was on his fast. So people think that Satan will run away. He's not going to run away. You'll resist him, he'll flee, but he will attack, and it may not be an instantaneous thing, okay? In all his days, he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered, saying, it is written, Jesus knew his word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Now, first of all, if the devil's offering you something, you don't need it. Okay? Secondly, Jesus didn't take the shortcut. He wasn't about to settle for just the kingdoms of the earth. He was God of the universe. But Satan offered him the shortcut. Many people take the shortcut. They take what the devil offers them. And they get burned in the process. Okay? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, him being Jesus, set Jesus on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Now this is Satan twisting the word of God. Be careful. Satan knows the word of God, he will twist it. Satan says, now for it is written, because Jesus has said that against him twice. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's twisting the word of God to make Jesus do something and challenge. Okay? Just because you hear it matches the word of God, make sure it lines up totally with the word of God. 100%. Too many Christians out there listen to one part of Scripture and act upon it. The whole Scripture. The whole truth. Okay? And Jesus answered him, saying, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now the devil had ended every temptation from He departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Okay. Knowing your word keeps the enemy away. If you know your word, when Satan comes to attack, you'll be able to keep the enemy away. Okay. Now we're going to go to Adam and Eve, number 3. Pride, impatience, and fear. Genesis 3, 1 through 13. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Now, God didn't tell Adam not to touch it. He told Adam not to eat it. Adam put that in there. Adam had a fear that his wife wouldn't respect him. This is my opinion now. And that's why he said that. "I want you not to touch the tree." Thinking that by putting more protection around it, he would help it. He actually opened the door for Satan to go in there to Eve. Because he didn't say what God said. He didn't use God's word all the way through. He had changed God's word. Do not change God's word. It's God's word. It doesn't need to be changed. Okay? "Lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die." Now, I have this picture. I see the snake in the tree, touching it. I'm not dying. I'm in the tree. And I think that was part of it. It's just my opinion on this part here. It's not in the Bible, but this is my imagination putting to work the word of God. Okay? All right. "For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman saw the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took its fruit and ate of it. Now here, she is trying to take the shortcut that Jesus did not take later on. I believe God was going to teach them exponentially in his time. But she hurried and took the shortcut and wanted to be wise as God immediately. Okay? "She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves coverings. As they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid.'" He's now admitting he's afraid from God. He had walked with God. He had talked with God. God was as close to him as any person could even imagine. And now Adam knew he was afraid. "Because I was naked, I hid myself. And he, being God, said, 'Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?'" Now, of course, God knew the answer to that. It's a rhetorical question. "Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the tree and I ate it.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate it.'" Adam's afraid because he listened to the enemy, not to God. And then he blame shifted it to his God. He didn't blame shift it to Eve. He said, "That woman you gave me, God, it's your fault." No, it wasn't God's fault. Okay? But he did try to take the blame off himself. Okay? So number 4, for you and me. Are we dealing with any areas of pride, impatience, and fear in our lives? Spend some time alone this weekend and ask yourself if there's anything here that we need to correct and get out. And I think of athletes on steroids, you know. They've got all this talent, but they want to push it to the next level. So they're going to take a shot of something to give them superly powerful performance, and they feel good and they look good for a season. But then their bodies are destroyed because they took that shortcut. They didn't want to do the work necessary to naturally perform themselves. You know, they were impatient. They were prideful. They were afraid they would lose. Therefore, they went to take the shortcut. We cannot do that. We must do our due diligence in everything we need to do. People of excellence, and especially comes to studying the Word. Okay. Number 5, fear comes from separation of God, which is spiritual death. "The Lord God commanded men, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you should not eat, for in that day you eat it, you will surely die.'" They didn't die physically, but they did die spiritually. Okay? And when the spiritual death came, the physical death came later. Okay. Number 5A, spiritual death leads to the fear of judgment of physical death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we who have received Jesus Christ have been forgiven. Being forgiven, we can live and not die. Being forgiven, we can take the teachings of ABC, put them to work, and be here when Jesus returns. Being glorious, being victorious with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Okay. See, the origins of fear. All sin in the world, pride, impatience, and fear. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Okay? When we are trying to do things the world's way and not the right way, not God's way, we have made a slip into the wrong area. We don't want to go there. And that sets us up. If we're doing it for the wrong reasons, if we're not doing it to bless the kingdom of God, we're doing it for the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, it's in the world and it's wrong. It can be a great idea. It can be an idea you think is for God. But if somebody is a wonderful preacher and he's doing it to be adorned by all the people in the audience, he's not doing it for God. He's doing it for himself. I'm not naming names or calling anybody out on them. Jesus is an example. Okay? If they're doing it because they're blessing the kingdom, then it's okay. Businessmen have the same challenge. If I build a business to bless the kingdom of God, that's a good thing. If I build a business, we can look at me and see how good I'm doing or so forth. That's not a good thing. Okay? So we got to be careful with that. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Once again, we must be a friend of God and enemy of the world. Adulterers and adulteresses, James 4:4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Enmity, being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. I don't want to be opposed to God. I don't want to be a friend of the world. I don't want that door open to me. Okay. Romans 14:23b. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because if he does not eat from faith, whatever is not from faith is sin. Okay. We all know here to see our RB and get sin out of our lives. Correct? If you don't, there's ABC teachings on that. Faith defeats fear. Water puts out fire. Faith defeats fear. The stronger your faith is, the less the devil has an opportunity to bring fear into your life. Must constantly be working on building up our faith. Okay. Number 3, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. James 1:14-15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when his desires conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin when it is full grown brings forth death. For most people, the biggest fear challenge is death. And I was very touched. My father's 98 years old. And he's finally in assisted living because he was living alone up until about 6 weeks ago. And we had a talk the last time Karen and I were home, and we got talking about death. And he says, I'm not afraid to die. He knew where he was going. He had complete peace about that conversation. And that really touched my heart that he wasn't afraid to die. But he wanted to be as active as he could be as long as he was here on earth. I thought that was pretty cool myself. Okay. D, we overcome fear through affirmations. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ.
1 Corinthians 2:16. If it does not belong in the mind of Christ, it does not belong in your mind, get rid of it. Now that means be careful what you watch on TV. Be careful what movies you go see. Be careful what songs you listen to on the radio. Be careful what you put into you. Make sure it's something that Christ would approve of. Okay? Number two, in the name of Jesus, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind, for he has abolished death. That's 2 Timothy 2, 1, 7, and 10. I use this verse a lot. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Because when you have power and a sound mind, you won't be afraid. Number three, in the name of Jesus, whatsoever things are true, Philippians 4, 8. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, I think on these things. Now, if you're focusing on these things, the devil can't get to your mind to have you focus on fearful things. Okay? If you think about virtuous things, you can't be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. Okay? Romans 8:15, in the name of Jesus, God has not given me a spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. Keywords there are, again, to fear. So, because Jesus is in us, we should not be a bondage to fear anymore. People in the world should be. Ironically, they're not. Ironically, they're not afraid. They're in denial about hell. They're in denial what can happen to them. But they go out and they do their debauchery and the things that they do, and they're not afraid. They think it's all going to work out somehow. Well, prayerfully, they all get saved. But the bottom line is, we don't have a bondage of fear. And Satan attacks too many Christians with fear because he wants Christians to stop doing what they're doing for the kingdom of God, because that's how he has victory. Okay? All right. Now, my definition of fear, or my description of fear, I should say, fear is a parasite. It's like a little bug that gets inside of people and continues to grow and manipulate and grow and eventually takes over the person. If a host has a parasite, the host has two choices. He can either kill the parasite or allow the parasite to kill him. I'll repeat that. The host can either kill the parasite or allow the parasite to kill him. Now, Pastor Eric and I were in Guatemala. We had amoebas challenges multiple times. We had no choice but to go and get them out. Okay? We had people who came to us that didn't know that wasn't normal because they had been drinking that water all their lives. And that's why they had such short lifespans there. If you saw somebody 35 years old there, you thought he was 70 or 80 years old because of the bugs that were inside of them. Okay? Fear is a parasite. We must get it out. Now, how do we do that? Fear. F-E-A-R. First F, focus. Satan wants people double-minded and confused. We need to focus. I once worked with a guy. He was some kind of a special forces op, but he couldn't tell me what he was. His security clearance was so high. He told me, he says, when something happens, you do not react to it. You focus. Now, this is done in a nanosecond, but you still focus and make a decision what you're going to do. Because if a bomb goes off here, they may be trying to run you all into a minefield over there. Don't let Satan push you somewhere where you don't need to be. When he attacks you, focus. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do now? Do not let your own emotions take over here. This is not a time for that. Holy Spirit, what do I do now? E, equip yourself for battle. Use the Word of God. The last time I used a phrase, don't tell God how big your challenge is, tell your challenge how big your God is. Okay? So what do you do? If somebody's sick, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. If somebody has financial problems, my God has already supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Somebody's having marriage problems, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. If you have any problem at all, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Pick a verse, stick on it, beat it in the devil, and say it again and again and again. And you beat the devil with the word of God, and you beat him again. Now, I was watching a war show with my father. And after the battle, they were going around, they were shooting the bodies. And I says, why are they doing that? He says, you're making sure they're dead. You don't want somebody coming conscious and grabbing his rifle and killing a few of your guys before you have a chance to get him. When they're down, you kick him. When the demons are down, you get them down. You're feeling better, keep doing your verse till the Holy Spirit tells you to stop. When your financial situation turns around, keep doing the verse till the Holy Spirit tells you to stop. Whatever your challenge is, don't stop just because you have a small victory. Stop when you have the total victory. The Holy Spirit says, that's enough now. Go on to the next battle. Equip yourself with the Word of God. A, act. Do what you need to do. If you have a physical challenge, you got to do some exercises, do it. Don't just pray over it. We're hearers and doers of the word here. If you have a financial challenge and God tells you, I want you to go do something, go do it. Too many people are in this thing where, oh, well, God's in control. He's going to do it. No, God has given you control over this situation. You're supposed to take dominion over your body. You're supposed to take dominion over your life. You're supposed to take dominion over the devil in your life. But you got to do what you got to do. There are no shortcuts. We've talked about that before. Act. And keep acting until you have the victory. The Bible doesn't say Christ will do everything for me. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And R, remember, when the going gets tough, and the going will get tough, Satan will see to it that the going gets tough. But when the going gets tough, remember that God is with you. And he will lead you and guide you in everything. So fight fire with fire. Fight fear with fear. Focus, equip, act, and remember. And we'll have victory upon victory upon victory. And the more victories you have, the more it will build a succession and grow. In Jesus' name. Amen.